I think the Badgers are done.
Yeah, here's the deal. I think if they do run the table, they have a shot at it. They have a shot at a national championship, getting them on those final four spots. Realistically, will they do it? I mean, if you lose at home to BYU and you struggle with those other two teams, can they really beat Michigan, Penn State, go to Iowa, and win this Saturday? I mean, they might beat Iowa Saturday, but can they really run the table?
They're a three-point favorite, actually.
Can they really run the table? That's the big question mark. Maybe this team isn't as good as we thought. If they're not, then that was a major choke job. I hate using that word, choke. I do. But, Bart, you're a 24-point favorite at home. At home. You got a non-conference winning streak of like 45, longest in the country. Ain't no way, player, you should be losing to BYU at home when you got all these expectations. Either those guys were reading too much of their newspaper clippings, the coaching staff ultimately failed not having these guys ready. They weren't prepared for what BYU had in store for them. But as a program, that is a catastrophic fail on Saturday.
I was shocked watching that game. I was shocked to see, you know, there are things that you could have been worried about that came true. Is this defense as good as last year, you wonder? Can Hornibrook step up? You know, these things were already in your head, and they didn't, both of them didn't come to fruition. The way that the offensive line just got pummeled by the BYU front was, it blew my mind. There was one series where they brought in all their second stringers, and the announcers were saying, well, is this because of the heat? And it could have been some of that, but also maybe it was just because these guys were not playing well. I mean, that offensive line, they got pushed. The Badgers offensive line, the factory of offensive linemen that have made their way throughout the NFL, got pushed around on Saturday by BYU. And when you saw that happening, you started to get a little concerned. Did you have a point in that game where you thought, okay, they're probably not, this could be bad?
I did not have a good feel to the game when Rafael was lining up for the field goal try from 42. Not at all. And you know what? You don't want to rip on college kids, but he melted down there. He's made some big kicks, but
you don't want to rip on college kids, so you won't, because that dude's like 30 now.
Yeah, he is. He would call you and I sir.
Yeah.
Or we would call him sir.
There it is.
That's it. We would call him sir.
They should have let my boy Zach Hintz kick the field goal.
Oh, from Springs?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the state record for the longest high school field goal kick.
I was there live.
At Fond du Lac Springs, did you do the play-by-play of it?
I did the play-by-play.
Oh, man.
I should try to track down that call.
That's a state record.
I called it.
Okay, yeah, that's a state record.
What an achievement in my life.
I saw it on TV, the highlight on TV. It was on ESPN.
Was it my call?
No, I just think they just showed the highlight without the call.
Oh, darn.
But that was incredible. That was at Frew Field in Fond du Lac. He's the third string kicker. He was going to be in the running for the kicker job if Rafael didn't bounce out of his early season injuries.
I thought that game was over when BYU stole Jump Around from us, and they should just retire Jump Around. Is that too hot of a take? BYU flat out stole it. Mm-hmm. Jump Around's going on third quarter. You know, BYU is going crazy. I never thought of that. You normally Jump Around is a time when it's, you know, you're up 40-0 on Illinois and you got to get the crowd back into it. So you jump around and people go nuts. And this time it was used for the opposing team they stole it in that third quarter. They used Jump Around in the locker room after. Mormons have been jumping around all week, man.
I was talking to the guy who covers the BYU for a newspaper out there. He was at the Packer game on Sunday. Thought he made the trip to Green Bay afterwards.
Oh, wow.
And he said, I was not even going to make the trip to Madison. He goes, we weren't even going to make the trip up here because we thought, okay. But then we thought about it and said, well, sixth-ranked team in the country, maybe. Maybe they could at least be in the game. And sure enough, not only were they in the game, I get nervous when you see the first half and the Badgers have come out in these three games and they've struggled a little bit out of the gates. And you know, we got a 7-7 tie and I'm like, okay, they're struggling with BYU again. I still thought they'd find a way to win the game. I really did.
Well, yeah, if you watched the beginning of the game, you thought it's just another slow start. They'll turn it around. That moment never came.
But when Hornibrook threw that pick in the second half, Bart, I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
It was a bad pick.
Did not have a good game. 414-799-1250. There is some precedent for a team like Wisconsin losing and still getting into the college football playoff. We'll go over that here in a couple of minutes. Want to hear from you guys. Joe is in Cedarburg. Joe, any chance they can still make the Final Four?
Absolutely not. And the reason why is Alex Hornibrook. I just don't see him leading the Badgers to college playoffs. You look at that game, and even last year, some of the games, when he's locked onto a receiver, that's who he's going to. Whether there's two guys on that receiver or four guys on that receiver, that's where he's going. His mobility isn't really there. I think he's a decent leader, but if he was a good quarterback, he would have been gone by now. He's a junior, and next year when Graham Mertz is coming, he's going to have some legit competition. The other thing is there's a guy, not on your show, but on Bill Michaels, and I think everybody knows, but he likes to call out the Hornibrook haters, and he was awfully quiet this past week. Maybe you guys should talk with him, because, I mean, I just don't get it with Hornibrook. Like, is Jack Cohen that bad? Because, like, if he was better, you would think he'd be starting ahead of Hornibrook, but he's not. I don't know.
Yeah, Hornibrook, I'm beginning to sour on him, too. I just took a big dip this past week with him. I liked him coming out, and I liked him. I thought he should have started 2 years ago, and he did end up starting. And last year, I thought he was making a jump, and no, I just think, yeah, you mentioned Graham Mertz. Mertz is the four-star recruit, I believe, out of Kansas. He is going to next year give them – he's going to give them a run at the quarterback spot. He's a legit quarterback. This is one of the best quarterbacks they've had in a long time come in. So we'll see what he's all about when he comes into camp next year. But still,
there was a lot of hoopla around Hornibrook, I thought.
There
unless
was.
I'm remembering wrong.
There was a lot of, but
like what we're hearing about Graham Mertz, I feel like we heard about Hornibrook.
When you think of,
and then before that, we heard that about Austin Kafensis.
Yeah, oh yeah, who really never found his way here. When you think of Badger quarterbacks who've been lightning rods, there's been two. There's this guy, Hornibrook, and of course the kid from Whitnall, Joel Stave. Two guys who've been lightning rods.
Well,
among fans,
Stave, Bollinger, Samuel.
No, but those two in particular, lightning rods. Took a lot of criticism. Samuel got the job done. Bollinger got the job done. But these two right here get a lot of criticism. And Hornibrook, it's the floating passes, the bad interceptions, putting the ball up for grabs. I think that's what people just the poor passes, throwing the ball in the dirt, just his inaccuracies. I thought he'd get that corrected by now, and he still hasn't.
When locking on a receiver, that was a good point. Hornibrook's passes, don't they seem to like travel? It's almost like they're traveling underwater.
Well, that's why I said they're floating.
Yeah, it's just like
he floats
so
his
slow.
That interception, we've seen that before from him. Those floating interceptions that are just dying quails up there and never make it to their receiver.
Hornibrook drops back to Danny Davis, and the ball's in the air.
And it 10 minutes later,
4.3 seconds
comes down like a chip shot.
It's going to come down, and Danny Davis is going to fair catch it for a 5 yard gain. Badgers first down.
Yeah, it is. It's just there's no zip on his balls.
Excuse me?
There's no zip on his throws. No zip on his throws.
Really walking the borderline here. This 15.
Yeah. You can cut that one out for a drop on me.
Doug, St. Francis, 799-1250. Any shot of the Badgers making the college football playoff?
No, absolutely not. I think the previous caller, talked about Hornibrook has not improved. There's no mobility there. The guy has no talent to stretch plays out at all. But I think it's more than just him, right? It's easy to pick on the quarterback. If you look at that game, we just got pummeled on both sides of the ball on the line of scrimmage. we got gashed by BYU. Once the Big Ten season starts, the talent's up a notch at another level. There's no way they have a chance to run the table and beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game and get to the playoffs. I think this is almost going to turn into a semi-rebuilding year as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, that'd suck, considering there was, you know, preseason fourth-ranked team in the country. Now, Doug's still there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Doug, do you think they don't have a shot at the national championship based on you don't think they're going to run the table, or the system is going to prevent them from keeping out of the top four?
Obviously, it depends what other teams do, but, you know, Alabama and Ohio State are the darlings of the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be a miracle for the Badgers to have a shot at it.
Yeah. I do say this, though. There's a lot of football to be played. I mean, if Wisconsin, I don't think they'll run the table, but if Wisconsin ran the table, Bart, we see so many ups. I mean, Ohio State got beat at Iowa last year. You know, that pretty much ended their shot at winning a national championship, even though they beat Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game. So there's going to be some upsets to be had out there. There's going to be some surprises, and we saw that right up to Thanksgiving weekend last year. But can Wisconsin hold up their end of the bargain and go unbeaten the rest of the way? I don't think that's happening.
Well, for those of you that are against the system, there is some precedent to a team like the Badgers getting in. There is a path for the Badgers to get in. I was very adamant after this game that their path was over, that the season was lost. Because it is, it's about titles. Once this college football playoff got introduced, I don't think that you can make... I don't think there's moral victories anymore. Big Ten championships are nice. Rose Bowls, I mean, might mean something to your grandpa. I think it's all about the college football playoff.
I think, though, anytime a team we like loses in a big game, we have that immediate setback. Like last night, the Brewers lost. Well, I mean, how is this team going to do anything in the postseason because they can't hit? The Packers tie with Minnesota. You know, and they can't even close out that game. You know, they're not going to the Super Bowl this year. I'm just saying that's what, like, my immediate reaction. And then with Wisconsin, it's like, well, they're not going to be in the championship Final Four this year.
Let me lay down a little hope on all you boys and girls. Of the 16 teams that have qualified for the playoffs since it began 4 years ago, 13 of those 16 teams reached the Final Four with one loss. Now, no two-loss team has ever been included. However, 8 of those 13 one-loss teams lost to unranked opponents at the time of the game, including 2 every season. In 2014, Oregon lost to Arizona, while Ohio State lost its second game of the season against Virginia Tech. In 2015, Oklahoma lost to unranked Texas. Michigan State lost to unranked Nebraska. Neither of those teams actually ended up finishing with a winning record either. In 2016, Clemson lost to Pittsburgh. Ohio State lost to Penn State, and in last year, Oklahoma lost to Iowa State, and Clemson lost to Syracuse, a team that finished 4-8. So you can lose to a bad team and still get in. For me, I think that doesn't apply to a team like Wisconsin. I think it applies to Clemson. I think it applies to Alabama. We always joke, Alabama can lose a game and get in, and they will, and they do. Clemson's the same way, and I think Ohio State's the same way. The Badgers... We were at the Big Ten championship game last year, wondering if the Badgers won, if they would still somehow be left out. It wasn't a certainty because there is no formula. It's a committee. There's no win your league and you're in because there's 5 major leagues and 4 spots. So there is some gamesmanship and there is some politics to it. And I ultimately think that even if the Badgers run the table, you need so many other things to happen. Basically, you need one of Alabama or Clemson to lose twice. You need Ohio State to, I think, go undefeated so you can beat an undefeated Ohio State team in the Big Ten championship. You probably need BYU to have a nice season the rest of the way. I just think you need so much else to happen to get in that I kind of already feel like this is a lost season.
Yeah, I mean, you do. There's a lot of football left to be played, though. The conference season has to start. Wisconsin, first of all, they'd have to go unbeaten, which I don't think is going to happen. They have to go unbeaten the rest of the way. And including beating Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. All that, I mean, they got just a huge mountain to climb on their own deal. Just to win the Big Ten title is going to be tough. It might be tough winning the Big Ten West the way things are looking now. It's going to be tough winning at Iowa on Saturday night. So all those things, taking care of their own is tough. And then all those factors you mentioned there. I still think as long as they don't lose any conference games, which is a big if, as long as they don't lose any conference games, Bart, they have a shot at one of those Final Four spots. I think there's going to be there's going to be some more upsets along the way. There's going to be some surprises, and there's going to be some upsets. And there's a lot that could happen between now and Thanksgiving weekend. But I just don't – even if that doesn't happen, I don't think Wisconsin is going to run the table and win the rest of their games.
Yeah, they just don't seem good enough.
No, I mean, going to Michigan, going to Penn State –
losing to BYU is one thing. It's one thing. Losing to BYU at home is one thing, but they got beat. I'm just still so shocked. I have never seen an offensive line get beat up like that from Wisconsin. I've never seen that.
You can't have a 24-point underdog come into your house and beat you.
Physically beat you.
You can't. Yeah,
just by the score, but beat you down.
Because that's we're going to be talking as long as Wisconsin stays unbeaten. And the guests that we have on the show and you and I talking about in the callers, we're always going to go back to that game, how they just got dominated by BYU. They were lucky to keep it as close as they did. Now, BYU, also, you know, you kind of mentioned there, yeah, they can't – we'd have to be cheering for BYU to have a good season, that they don't go out and have a 4-9 season as a result of this. Now, they're 2-1. They had one loss. I think they beat Arizona and lost to Cal coming into Camp Randall, but real early at this point, but already the Badgers are playing from the back in back of the proverbial eight ball because of a non-conference loss. I mean, if anything, you want to go down losing to a good team. If you're going to get eliminated from the college football playoff, you don't want to do it before even before conference play starts. You put yourself in a bad spot.
We'll talk to Ben Wergel about this tomorrow. 6:35, more on the Badgers' chances. Let's talk to Mike right now in Franklin. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. That loss is absolutely devastating. BYU wasn't even ranked, and then to get absolutely smoked at home is really scary. And then they're missing their top two cornerbacks, their top wide receiver. The offense really, besides Jonathan Taylor, hasn't shown anything. And the offensive line getting dominated as badly as it did. Oh, my goodness. And then you guys also mentioned Iowa. Iowa's a very good team, guys. They're actually on a roll, and I could see the Badgers losing to Iowa at Iowa because Iowa, like I said, is a good team and is on the roll. And after that, all bets are off. I'd be surprised if the Badgers finish in top 20 after that loss.
Yeah,
so I don't think they're going anywhere. Top 20 finish at best.
Yeah, I mean Iowa's their quarterback. He's from Wisconsin. He's from Menominee, up by Eau Claire. The name escapes me right now, but he's been around for a little bit. Good quarterback. Probably better than Hornibrook at this point. So winning this game at Iowa, if they play like they did against BYU, they're going to get smoked at Iowa.
Nate Stanley, I looked it up.
Nate
I remember
Stanley.
That from last year's game.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Yeah.
The game that they played against BYU, that's the kind of game I expected against Iowa. You know, I'm supposed to go to this Badger party. There's a Badger party that was this
7:30 game starts.
Right, and I was expecting to watch like a undefeated and be real into it. And now it's going to be more. Oh, how are they doing?
Yeah, okay. I mean, there's no
Can
doubt
I have another captain
that loss to BYU is taking some steam off some of these games going into conference season. I think this is why some of these schools schedule cupcakes, because they don't want to have happen what happened to Wisconsin.
But that's the argument that the strength of schedule is an argument against Wisconsin getting in, because they are scheduling cupcakes. They don't have the opportunity to bolster their resume with a nice win here in the first 3 weeks. So they beat New Mexico.
But they have, though, from 2014 to 2016, they had LSU in two of those 3 years, and the other year they had Alabama. So that
was when they scheduled BYU. BYU was good at the time when they set that matchup.
Yeah.
Then they got bad last year and are recovering, and obviously not terrible this year.
You know, my problem is if Iowa went out and played Northern Iowa, and I get that, you know, it's in-state, but, you know, Wisconsin, if they're scheduling Northern Illinois, Northern, their program has been pretty good. Let's say if they schedule a 1AA team, Southern Illinois, to come in, that's where I have an issue. And, you know, you look at Alabama's non-conference schedule, it's terrible. But obviously you get to the SEC, and you know, we saw them take out Ole Miss on Saturday night. They're awesome. But, again, you have this one non-conference loss, and it sucks because you look at the game against Iowa. We should be all fired up about this game against the Hawkeyes, but I'm like, give me another Captain and Coke.